This year, our church will be celebrating. It's a year that we're going to look at our lives. And our themes are going to be dealing with wholeness, being complete in all that God wants us to be and all that God calls us to be balanced in our spirit, in our mind, in our body. The term used in Scripture, one of them is soteria. And that deals with salvation. It does deal with salvation against sins, salvation from judgment, but it also speaks to us of health and wellness and healing. It does speak of wholeness. And it seems like we have a tendency to concentrate on the body much more than we do on the spirit and on the mind. We are more concerned with food and drink and exercise and how do we look often than what does our spirit look like. We do mostly what makes this body comfortable. Yet we're reminded by the French philosopher Pierre Teilhard de Chardin that we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And that we are truly spirit, temporarily clothed in this body. So what we do for this body is temporary, but what we do for the spirit is eternal. And as we feed the body, we must feed the spirit. We become spiritually hungry. Perhaps that's why we are instructed in Psalm 34 to taste and see that the Lord is good. Would you please pray with me? Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you've given us. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I want to take a second just to review the parable. See, in the parable, a man had planned a great feast. It doesn't say it's really a wedding feast. It's just a feast that he's inviting his friends to. Now, often we do these feasts because we want to be in fellowship with people. We invite them in so we can share our life stories. We can share our lives together. And so to do a feast, to do a big banquet, of course, it takes quite a bit of time and planning and cost. So he's been planning this, and when it is time and everything is ready, he sends his servant or his slave out to contact each one of the invited guests, telling them that everything was ready, let's get together and let's enjoy our fellowship together. But one after another, the guest came up with excuses for not coming. One had just bought a piece of land and said that he had to go see it, because that was what was on his mind, what he felt he had to do. And another had purchased some oxen and said he was going to yoke them and try them out to see how they were going to work. And another gave the excuse that he was newly married. Now, he didn't say that he was being married. He was newly married. And therefore, he could not come. So when the master of the house had heard this, he'd become very upset at these excuses. So he said to his servant, go out into the streets and bring in everybody. Bring in the cripple. Bring in the hungry. Bring in everybody so that my house may be full. And when the servant had said, well, we brought everybody in, but you still have so much room, he said, go out into the country, go out into the byways, and bring all in, so that my house may be full. And Jesus ended the parable by relating the master's determination that not one of those people who had rejected his invitation would get the taste of his banquet. Now, I've heard this spoken many different times from different sermons and different teachings and different things in seminary, and often I find it falls into these three different areas. I called them warnings, but perhaps I should have called them teachings, teachings from this particular parable. One deals with the Jewish people at the time of Jesus, that the invitation was sent out to the Jewish people, and because they weren't accepting the Christ, that then the invitation would be sent to those people in Judea and the areas of the Gentiles that were close, and then later to the people, the Gentiles that are outside of Judea, outside of Israel, around the world. Another time I've heard people say it has to do with Christians in the second advent, of being prepared, of spending time, so that when Jesus returns, we'll be ready to be invited to the great feast, the great wedding feast that will happen, as spoken about in the book of Revelation. And another one I've seen is it's actually a message, a parable, a story, a teaching to everybody. that they don't miss out on the abundant life that Christ has for each and every one of us right here and now. Now, to review these, often you have to put them in context, and taking Scripture in such short pieces takes it out of the context of what Jesus was speaking about. We always must remember to keep it within the culture that Jesus is speaking, in the context and the community to whom he was speaking. Within, if you would go a few verses before this parable, he starts speaking about meals because he was at a meal. And he said, first thing, we should be humble. He said, don't take an important part at the table. Take a lowly part. It's much better the master to say, come, move forward, than it does to say, please move backwards. So I believe he's speaking in that parable about being humble in all that we do, which led into this into that teaching, which led into this parable. Another time he says, don't throw a big feast and just invite your friends and family knowing that it will be returned to you. When you have a feast, invite those who cannot repay you. Invite the poor and the crippled and the blind. Invite them in. Your reward will be great in heaven. And from that two teachings that weren't really parables, Jesus led into this when somebody had said to him, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God. And Jesus has said that the kingdom is at hand. It is now. It's not something we're waiting for in the future. So I believe that the teaching really has much more to do with the here and now, with the abundant life that Jesus has for us now, not so much dealing with the Jewish people, not so much dealing with Christians at the second advent, but how do we live a life that is full and complete and pleasing to our Lord now? When you're invited to this abundant feast of life and to receive, we must spend time. You see, we need to spend time in prayer with God. We must need to spend time in fellowship with one another. We need to spend time reading the Word. And that brings us into the feast, into this fellowship that we have. Now, in Jesus' story, it's the same as it is now. Often we find excuses, and I'm very guilty of this. And these excuses are not in themselves sinful. They're really not wrong. There really is nothing wrong with buying land or buying animals. And there's really nothing wrong, definitely, for spending time with your family, being married, having kids, and doing that sort of relationship. The Bible actually commands that we should be good workers, and the Bible says that we should love our families. But even good, positive things that are perfectly legitimate in the right place can be wrong if they become an obstacle between us and God. They can be wrong if they keep us from having the abundant life that Christ has called us to. Even in this parable, we have one person who says, I bought a piece of land and I have to go and see it. And as I was reading, I thought, well, really? It seems to me I'm not going to buy a piece of land before I see it. I'm not going to buy a house and just say, okay, I'll give you this amount for this land or this house without seeing it first. But what had preoccupied this person's mind was this land. He wanted just to go out there and be with it, even though he was being called into this feast to spend time with the master, as we often are called to spend time with the master. But I thought about it and I said, no, I'm really no better. Jesus, I'd love to come and spend time with you, but too often I have some personal business that I feel I need to attend to, like shopping or cleaning or fixing something. I have time for Facebook, but sometimes I don't have time to spend with God. The next person says, I would come, but I bought some oxen and I want to try them out. He bought something for his business, something for his livelihood, and I needed his attention right now. And I thought, well, does it really? But I'm no better. Jesus, I'd come, but I have urgent business. I have deadlines to meet or business to transact. I'm sorry, God, I just can't make it. See, I have time for my earthly work, but I have little time for my heavenly work. And another man says, but I am newly married and I can't come. Newly married. Not getting married today, not have been married for a short time. I'm newly married. But I'm no better. But my family needs me. When family or friends come, I set everything aside. I sit down and I communicate with them. And I build relationships with them. But when God comes to visit me, too often I find excuses. My real problem is I just don't want to get off and be being lazy and spend time with God to build my relationship. And you see, that is my butt problem. And I came to realize my main problem comes when entering into fellowship with God, to writing a sermon or doing what God asks, is sometimes I just let these butts be too big.
I got a big butt. It's gigantic, if I'm going to be blunt about it. And you know what? The funny thing is, I got several big butts. And before you discard me or wince at the disgusting notion of that, I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that possibly you have at least one big butt as well. Yeah, you like that? Hurts a little, huh? Let me tell you something. Let me just tell you something, okay? Everybody we know has a big butt. And more often than not, it's the thing that actually gets in the way of us living a consistent life for Jesus. Yeah, I think you know what I'm talking about. But I'm going to expound a little bit, okay? See if you can recognize some of these butts. But I have to work more. But my favorite TV show is on. But my kids have practice. But I got to tweet something. But it's such a beautiful day. But I'm just not in the mood. But I deserve a break today. You see, everything kind of interferes with my life of just living an authentic life for God, okay? And more often than not, it always has something to do with some sort of butt, okay? Even the littlest of butt can distract me. It really can. The littlest butt can make me think, I'm not going to pray today. I'm not going to think about it today. I'm not going to deny myself. I'm not going to read the Bible, blah, blah, blah. Whatever God asked me to do, I seem to have a butt for it and get away, okay? And the most horrendously big butt of all time is the butt that gets in the way of me just hanging out with God and reading His Word. It's true. Think about it. All the times you're about to open that, and all of a sudden a big giant butt gets in the way. A butt. Much like one of these. But I got a farm bill, but I'm tired, but the game's over, but I read last Tuesday, but I gotta check Facebook, but I don't like Leviticus, but it's too hot here, but I just don't like books, but I don't understand it, but it's boring. But what does that have to do with me in the 21st century? Those are some ugly butts, people. Let's just call them what they are, ugly. Ugly butts, okay? And there's a lot more to them, sad but true. Here's a list, although not exhaustive, of some of the most popular butts known to mankind. But I don't have enough money yet. But others will think that I'm a nerd if I carry the Bible. But they won't like me if I talk about Jesus. But I don't know if God will do what I ask. But I just can't get motivated. But I'm afraid. But I don't have all the answers. But the small group is the same night as Monday Night Football. But can't I just let my life speak for itself? But I'm not happy. But that's not my gift. But that's the pastor's job. But I don't know how to pray. But I can't believe that. But I don't know where to start. But everybody else is having fun. Butts abound, friend. But. Here a butt, there a butt. Everywhere, a butt. Okay? And the most overused butt of all time, but I just don't have enough time. Really? Oh, come on. We have a lot of butts. God has given us a real simple word. Okay? If we learn it, and we share it, and we teach it, and we live by it, then see, God gets glorified, people benefit, and then we get blessed. That's why we do what we do. That's the why behind the butt. Okay? And ultimately, that's the whole point I'm trying to make here, my fellow butt lovers, is if your butt is bigger than your why, then your butt's too big. Okay, it's time to, metaphorically speaking, snap into a Slim Jim. Okay, let's slap on some spiritual shape-ups and hit the road a little bit so we can just manage the butts a little bit. That's all we're trying to do. That's what we're talking about. Let's minimize the excuses. Let's shrink the butts. Shrink the butts. Say it with me. Shrink the butts. That's what we need to do. And you and I can do that together. We can conquer this. You and I can do it if we start today, okay? I know we can. Let's just do it. No ifs, ands, or...
Well, I'd hope to add just a little levity because this is such a heavy subject, and I hope it did that for you. But I know that there is an answer to all this conflicts in our lives of how do we spend our time, how do we spend time with God. I know the answer is if I choose abundant life. See, if I ever listen. And when I do listen to the encouragement of God, the Holy Spirit, and follow His direction, I have never in my life, never ever been disappointed. I've never regretted it. I am always blessed. I am always fulfilled. I always find my purpose to getting up in the morning. When I spend time with God and I listen to the nudging of the Spirit and I follow that nudging. And the purpose, me getting up every morning, is not to go shopping. And it's not to spend time on Facebook or Twitter or on the internet or anything like that. It certainly isn't to make a lot of money or try to please my employer and my family. It is to enter into a deeper relationship with the Prince of Peace, with the Creator of all, the Ruler of the universe, the beginning and the end. the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How can any relationship be more important than that one? And so, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know this life, I'd like to introduce you to him. Perhaps for the first time, perhaps for times that you may have walked with him and you want a stronger relation, or perhaps you would like to spend some time just saying, I know I really need to get my spiritual house in order. I know I need to spend more time with God. I need to spend more time perhaps even being with God more than doing things for God. And that's really what I think this wholeness is all about. It's finding this balance between all these aspects of our lives, making sure that we concentrate on those things that are important to us, but also important to God. Amen. God is so very good to us and all the blessings that he gives us. And I have no doubt in my mind that God is constantly thinking of us and wooing us back into a stronger relationship with him. And perhaps this morning you may never have taken that step to enter into a relationship, or maybe you are in a relationship, but you want to say, I want to know more. I need more of God in my life. I'm tired, and I just get so wrapped up in so many things. I need God in my life. As we stand and sing, I'd invite you to come forward, and Pastor Susan and I will meet you up here. Or perhaps you just want to rededicate your life, or you'd like to become a faith partner with us. Perhaps you've been a guest and a friend of the church, but you think, I really want to be part of a church that I know is moving in the direction that I feel God has taken me. So we invite you, as we stand and sing, to come forward and to speak to us and to become part of this wonderful fellowship that we have here. Please stand.